give a kid who it makes us honor, better, faster, stronger.
Campbell on second down and 5.5. Looks right. Comes back to the left. Going long for Gordon. He's out there and he caught the ball at the 20, at the 15, 10, 5, touchdown!
Unbelievable catch, unbelievable throw.
Coming to you live from Browns headquarters in Berea, Ohio, this is Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Takes the snap, Dalton back, looking near side, throws it, picked off, and an open run. It's Joe Hayden, and he's in, touchdown!
And now, here are your hosts, Vic Carucci and Nathan Zagora.
Welcome to a Tuesday edition of Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford, Nathan Zagora, the notorious VIC Vic Carucci here, and we have got a big show lined up for you today, as we always try to do here on CBD, on ESPN 850 WKNR. Today, before the combine, we went through, Vic and I went through the 53-man roster, those rankings available to you on clevelandbrowns.com. You can still react to those there. So what we wanted to do coming out of that was then identify the 7 or 8 biggest positional needs for the Browns and rank them in our order of importance. And that will be the launching point for us to go through the free agents, to go through the draft board, and identify the ways that this Cleveland Browns team can plug some of those holes. Can you plug every hole? Of course you can, but we're going to go through that. At 2 o'clock, Eric Metcalf will be joining us. We will also do a little after further review. We will have 3 questions for the 3-time Super Bowl champion, Gerard Cherry, late in hour number 2. We'll also hear a lot of the clips from the Mike Pettine interview on the Combine show coming up in hour number 1. We might also get a little Jason Lockenfora from CBS Sports stopping by. Notorious, how you doing today, brother?
I am doing great, and I love this. We're going through the offseason process as the team does, which is we started methodically with ranking the roster. We took the 1 through 53. And not only is that a matter of determining who we felt the best and who we felt was at the bottom, and obviously it was a greater challenge once you got past that top 10 number to deal with the ranking as it was. As we say hi to some folks coming in here, that's Mr. Paul Clark from PNC Bank walking into our building right now, past our studio. Heavy hitters going through the studio. Anyway, but we did that, and mostly I think we did a lot of elimination with that, right? And that's what the team does. You decide who from the existing team you don't see kind of going forward with you, and that's step 1. And now it's the needs, and the needs kind of feed off of what we put together from 1 to 53. And I think that's going to be a really good exercise today. Again, that's one that the team does. And in the process, we can address what we've seen of the college players, especially what we've seen during the last week, counting today as the final day of the combine.
Some speed, by the way, at the cornerback position on display today. Yeah. Some of the big-time corners running very, very quickly. And, my guy Brandon Cooks, who, by the way, won the $100,000 from Adidas for having the fastest time at the combine in their shoes. So congrats to him. His teammate Justin Gilbert flew at the combine today. There are some good cornerbacks out there that ran quickly. Gilbert Dennard from Michigan State also ran a quick time today. So we'll talk about those guys as the show progresses. But, yeah, I think you're right. What we're trying to do here is lay it out. And fortunately, we do have a little bit of time on the show being on every single day to go through the roster, which we did, lay out the needs. And then we're going to have a real good time, I think, going through the free agents and really kind of trying to match what we think the people you should go after with the money, the dollar bills, and how that fits in. Because remember, if a team really likes somebody, they're not going to be a free agent. So everybody exactly who's in the free agent market is not as good as they may appear. So remember that. It's kind of like objects in the rearview mirror, closer absolutely than they appear. So I think, you want to look at this and see where you can find the bargain, see where you can find some of the gems to plug in some holes and then allow that to mesh with the 10 draft picks and maybe more by the time it's all said and done for the Cleveland Browns this year. And that's what we're going to be going through, putting together our free agent board, our draft board, driven by Liberty Ford.
Just because you have room under the cap, which the Browns do, 40-odd million worth of cap room, I guess, is the estimate, somewhere between 38 and 42, I've heard this number. And just because you have that doesn't mean you just spend to spend, that you just bring in free agents galore because, you got all this room to do so. I think you need to still be judicious. You need to be very careful in that process because, as you said, there's a lot of fool's gold out there. There are names and some are recognizable, and you say to yourself, well, he's played well, but does he still play well, and will he play well for you once you fill his pockets with a lot of money?
Right.
I think the Browns got the classic example of that from Paul Kruger. He came into the market as the sack monster from the Baltimore Ravens. Got a lot of millions of dollars, I think to the tune of $40 million some odd bucks, one of the highest paid players in the free agency market of 2013. And the result was 4.5 sacks. The result was mostly disappointment in the way that he produced. I'm not going to say he didn't do any good things, because he did some good things, but he certainly didn't do enough of them to justify that number, and that's what I think happens in free agency. Actually, I think the two guys in the free agent market who did better for this team, although each was seasons shortened by injuries, were Desmond Bryant, who I think was a far more productive guy and a better signing overall, and Quinton Groves. But both of them had shorter seasons because of various calamities with the heart, irregular heartbeat with Bryant and the ankle injury to Groves. Otherwise, though, I'd say you don't necessarily have to get those stars. And I go back to what general managers and coaches have told me through the years, that that a free agent almost never helps you as much as he hurts the team that he left. That when you look at those relative impacts, it'll always be that he created a hole for his previous team, doesn't necessarily help the next team as much. So that's something to be aware of. I want this team shopping in the market, but be selective, and let's see what Ray Farmer's talent eye is like. That's what we're going to get the first indication of that.
And what I really like about the fact that Ray Farmer is the GM and the first opportunity for him is to be in the free agent market prior to the draft is that he was a director of pro personnel for so many years with the Kansas City Chiefs. So he knows the guys around the NFL probably better, I would say, than some GMs who have been focused solely on the college ranks or spent a lot of their time on the college ranks. So I like that, and you're right. I think that there will be an opportunity to go ahead and make a splash here in free agency and do it on an economical basis. I think if you look at, for example, what the Eagles did last year, they brought in Bradley Fletcher at a very cheap price. He ended up being a starting corner for them. Connor Barwin came in cheaply. He played
great
very well for them.
Yep.
That's what we want to see the Browns do, and then add some horses in the draft with the 10 draft picks. So I think it is an exciting time for this team, and I'm excited to kind of get into this. This is where I'm excited to get into is how do we flesh out this roster and get it to the point where you and I both believe that this can be a very competitive team with a playoffs on the brain in 2014.
Well, again, I mean, that's obviously the goal. I'm probably less optimistic than you are that they're going to get to that point, but I will say
that's just natural due to our personalities.
Right, our personalities are what they are. Right. And we'll go into it that way. Mike, the reason, I mean, I'm hoping I'm going to get to that point, and whether it's this year or beyond this year, we'll see. I'm open to it, but here's my issue right now. There are a lot of needs. I mean, these needs are many. And some are glaring. For a team that did send six guys to the Pro Bowl, had some close games, had this hope and promise that we saw through the course of the year, nonetheless finished the year with a lot of holes. And putting aside all the turmoil that this team has experienced through its coaching turnover, very quick coaching turnover, through the blowing up of the front office, putting all of that aside for the time being, And I'm still not necessarily sure that none of that comes into play when you look at what's going forward. But if we put that aside and just focus on football and the roster, there are a lot of spots. And you and I have really, it's easy for us to come up with 8 or 9 areas where this team needs to help itself before it can be considered in good enough shape to even think, to even utter the P word, in my mind.
Playoffs. Talk of playoffs. No, you're right, and we're going to get to those. We're going to hear from Coach Pettine in a little bit, but as this first hour, I think, unwinds, we're going to go ahead and get into those needs. We're going to then discuss them with Eric Metcalf when he joins us at 2 p.m. Eastern, and we have After Further Review, of course, Sweeping the Nation on Tuesdays there. So
it really is.
I am excited about that. And one of the things I wanted to ask you, and one of the things we talked about yesterday, and we'll hear more from Coach Pettine after the first break, but
yeah.
After hearing him at the combine and how he handled himself with the Harbaugh story and basically everything that I've heard about this guy, All he does to me is continue to deliver and be the kind of coach and leader that I think an organization that has gone through as much tumult as this one has, he seems to me to be that kind of steady hand, a guy who's not going to be fazed by these distractions. And I thought his handling of the Harbaugh story was great. And I think what he and Jimmy Haslam did in tandem was basically make it a non-story for the Cleveland Browns. And now all the eyes of the world are on the situation that's happening in San Francisco with Harbaugh and Trent Baalke.
I don't think there's any question that is how the story turned. Because initially, a lot of folks wanted to look at this, a whole bunch of national media types that I spoke with in Indianapolis and then read or heard what they had to say about this were at the point of saying, does this reflect poorly on the choice of Mike Pettine, that he's really not the guy the Browns wanted, and that when this thing hit, it was going to be viewed as the Browns, and when he had a chance to speak about it at the combine, it was going to be viewed that the Browns were tepid about him, and he's going to get up there and feel like a guy who isn't really wanted by the team that's employing him. And it was nothing of the sort. He went into that very confidently, handled it very well, joked about his reaction to, quote, the messenger, who was Zach Gilbert, telling him, the Browns media relations director, telling him about the story that was coming out regarding the 49ers and the Harbaugh situation. And after being as forthright about it as he was, and having a little fun with it, and basically saying, look, I'm doing the job, I'm here, this is my show, and I'm confident and comfortable with in my own skin is doing this thing, words to that effect, I think people had a new respect for him. And that's what I heard afterward. And then for Jimmy Haslam to finally just confirm it after the only, I thought, a little bit of the handling of it initially with a non-denial was, you know, not the best way. I would have rather had what Jimmy Haslam said after the fact
Sure.
be said up front. Say that it happened, here's how it went down, and just get it done with. Don't leave it. Don't dance like that. Don't try to be cute with it and say, you know, we're just moving forward with Mike Pettine. Well, that's another way of saying this happened, but we don't want to get bogged down in that. You're going to get bogged in it a little bit because it's that kind of story. But you're right about the way it was handled. And now it is a much bigger issue for the 49ers. Now there are all sorts of questions about this team that look like a Super Bowl team for sure next year. And I'm not so sure about how they're going to do things when you know that there's tremendous infighting clearly between Jim Harbaugh, the coach, and Trent Baalke, the GM.
I can tell you, because my father still lives in the Bay Area, that it is all anybody is talking about out there right now is
sure.
that they're expecting kind of like WrestleMania 5 when the Hulkster and the Macho Man, the mega powers collided. That's what they think, basically Baalke, Harbaugh fighting for control over that organization. And there are quite a few who think that Harbaugh is going to lose that battle.
You know, you just brought something up because it's been long overdue. Hang on one second here. I got to do something.
Right, yeah, that is the number one topic. I love the fact
I'm sending a text. Hold on. Sending a text.
Oh, here. Are you?
I'm sending out a text to the great ring in the sky.
No.
And I think it's time.
Right out of
this
the
is
gate.
The kind of thing. Well, you just reminded me of it. I had it in my notes here that I wanted to do this. All right, I'm making a request to see if we can bring Macho Man back from the dead just for this purpose to describe the showdown. Because, frankly, this is the kind of thing that he can address when you've got two guys squaring off. Basically, and it has the feel of something that should take place in a ring. Wait a minute. All right. He's aboard. Macho Man, that's the question of the day here. Is we want to know whether or not, I mean, as you see it from up there, the situation, Jim Harbaugh, a very fiery guy, a guy, you saw what he did with Jim Schwartz and the aggressive handshake, doesn't seem to be a very stable human being that I can pick up when I've been around him and observed him. And now he's got this issue with Trent Baalke. Macho, your thoughts?
Ooh, yeah, Notorious. I appreciate you reaching out to the big ring in the sky. Yeah, but you got to remember when you talk about Jim Harbaugh, you're saying he's got a screw loose. Well, guess what? So did I. It helped me get to the top. But I'll tell you what, at one point when the mega powers were together, you thought it was all working, right? Yeah, we were going straight to the top, just like the 49ers, three straight NFC championship appearances. Yeah, things are going so good. But then all of a sudden, the madness gets a little bit ahead of the mania and jealousy emerges, and the craziness now becomes dysfunction. and that's what we're having in San Francisco. Jim Harbaugh, your khakis are very cheap, and we all know you can get those kind of khakis anywhere in the country. You're right there in San Francisco, the home of Levi's, and yet you shun their products for $8 khakis. Why? I don't know, but it says to me you're a little bit nuts. Yeah, and it makes me like you a little bit, but at the same time, you never won the big one. The Macho Man won the big one at WrestleMania 4. Yeah, I was the champ. You've never been the champ, and I think Trent Baalke, who sounds a little bit, in my opinion, like Super Dave Osborne, he's going to tell you, sayonara, see you, goodbye. You're going to lose this one, Jim Harbaugh, because sometimes when you're that crazy, when you're that demanding, you wear out your welcome, and you, sir, might have the opportunity to hear the final words from Trent Baalke. Good day, sir. Ooh, yeah.
Macho, thank you so much. I know you're busy and you got a lot of things going on up there in the big ring in the sky. But when we have a chance to bring you on,
Notorious, I'll always make time for you.
I know that, and I greatly appreciate that. I greatly appreciate that. All right, we've got a lot more coming up. Speaking of WrestleMania, Mike Patton, who a lot of folks think resembles a certain wrestler back in his day.
He does.
Right? And yeah. So we'll
Goldberg, Stone Cold, Steve Austin, like a mashup.
We'll stay within that theme. A lot of people post that on Twitter right now. They got a side-by-side with Goldberg and Mike Patton. So we'll hear from him from the Combine.